kids at this time. And as they go, I'm going to encourage you to take out your message notes and open up your Bibles. We have this marvelous book, the Word of God. Prepare your own hearts to hear what He wants to say to you. And if you don't have notes, as a newcomer, you won't, unless you are recognized immediately. If you get an usher, they'll be happy to provide these message notes for you. We're looking at the church courageous in prayer as we go through this wonderful book that the Holy Spirit laid upon the Apostle Luke to document for us to know what the church is to be like and what it was like at the time of its birth. As we prepare ourselves, as we look at prayer, for many who have been Christians for quite some time, they might be thinking, prayer is so passé. But it isn't. It really isn't in the church because it's not something that a lot of Christians engage in. It's ongoing conversation with the Most High God, this one that is our Abba, our Father in heaven. And to be able to draw closer and closer to Him, just like, Kathy and I walking along together and my usually listening, but sometimes getting to say something too, and that sort of thing. It draws us closer together as we have wonderful conversation with the Lord. But thinking about prayer, I saw this fun story. So to introduce the text, I thought I would just share this with you. It's about a little boy, and his name is Johnny. He's considered to be very bright as a five-year-old. And he told his daddy he'd like to have a baby brother. And along with that request, he offered his dad to do whatever he could do as a little boy to assist in this taking place. And so his dad, a very bright 35-year-old, paused for a moment and then replied and said the following, "I'll tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee that our Heavenly Father will give you one." Johnny responded eagerly, so the story goes, to his dad's challenge, and he went to his bedroom early each night to start praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for the whole first month. But after that, he began to get skeptical. He checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going to happen had never occurred in the history of his neighborhood. You just don't pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. So Johnny quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mom went to the hospital and she had a baby. And when she came home, Johnny was requested to go to her parents' bedroom. He cautiously walked into the room, not expecting to find anything, and there was a little bundle lying right next to his mother. His dad pulled back the sheet, and there was another one. Not one baby brother, but two. Mom had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at his five-year-old son and said, "Now, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Johnny hesitated a little and then looked up at his dad and said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I quit?" I don't believe some of us believe in prayer. And we have seen such marvelous things take place in our own church family. I mean, as our girls get older, and have babies, doctors are saying it's not so good to be in your 40s and having children. But, here is my second born. She's 42, and she just gave birth to this healthy, beautiful little girl. We prayed. We prayed because Down syndrome is something that does happen with more regularity as moms are older and having children. So we've been blessed. So many of you were praying for Annette during all that time that she had cancer. But she didn't have cancer anymore, you know? Our Lord still answers prayer, family. You know, my wife, you know, she's sitting in the back like thinking she can hide from me. But, you know, this woman, when she goes to the mall, you know, the other God, to go shopping, you know, the season has arrived where the place is going to be full. I refuse to go. But she'll pray for a parking space up front, and she gets it. Should I go over there in years past and pray for a parking spot? It's kind of like, sure, bud, you know, out there in the South 40 and hike in. So at any rate, prayer is so very, very important, and it is a neglected area, a privilege that has been given to humankind, but more importantly, to those of us who are sons and daughters. He is very interested in having you get to know him better by talking to him. And we've been learning about how to incorporate the Word of God into our prayers and just make it makes them rich and fuller. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. Well, if you look at page 2, I just want to go very quickly and look at the text since I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I just want to call attention, beginning in verse 23. It says, when they were relieved, when Peter and John were released, they went to their fellow believers. They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. The Sanhedrin had told these two men and the miraculous healing, this guy that's standing there who had been crippled for over 40 years, they told him, there's no more talking about Jesus, guys. That ends here today. And there's no sharing the gospel, not this Jesus gospel. And on top of that, you don't go out and you tell everybody that he is the Messiah. We are telling you to quit. And if you don't, my words, not theirs, paraphrasing, we're going to hurt you. We're going to hurt you. And I'm quite sure that Peter and John were very astute as to know this is the same people that took Jesus before Pilate and demanded his crucifixion. And he could do they could do the very same thing to them. But we're going to notice something very interesting about these two and all of their Christian friends. Boy, I hope that is us when I share this with you. I hope that is us should the persecution begin in America more than it already is about picking on Christians. But in verse 24, he says, and when they heard it, when they heard this news, this account that Peter and John gave them, they lifted their voices together in unity. They lift their voices together to our Heavenly Father. Is that something you do when you just got a whole ration of bad news? Do you lift that to our Heavenly Father and in such a way as to have a great attitude about it? Because that's what these guys did. And I guess the girls, it doesn't give us gender at this juncture. And when they heard it, they lifted it up their voices together and to God and said, and then they pray this wonderful prayer. And I hope that you will incorporate words like this from the Word of God. You speak them back to him. He likes it. And he gives, they pray part of Psalm 2. Here we have this beautiful prophecy. David is not only, as we see, they're mentioning him in their prayer as their former king, but they also call him a prophet. And they are seeing in their lifetime, right then and there, part of this prophecy being fulfilled. Exciting. Very exciting. They know the Old Testament, and there it is, coming to life right before them. Amazing. Amazing and wonderful. And then jumping down to verse 27. For truly in this city, Jerusalem, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Excuse me. Jesus was predestined before the foundation of the world to take care of your sins and mine. He was predestined to be the propitiation, the satisfactory sacrifice for our sins, to receive the punishment we deserve. He took it upon himself. And that was all taken care of even before the world was created by him. God bless you, sincerely. You're welcome. And then in verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats. You heard what they said to us. You heard how they challenged us. You heard that we can't talk about your son anymore. You heard how we're not to propagate his gospel anymore. Thank you, Tommy. And Father, you've taught us where man's law conflicts with your law, we are to say no to man and yes to you, and that's civil disobedience, and we need to be prepared to receive the consequences for our actions in being obedient to you. And you've already promised you'll never forsake us, you'll never leave us, you'll be with us through it all. And all these people, they knew this. All these new believers understood this completely. And then he goes on and he says, and now look upon their threats and grant to your slaves. This word means slaves. We have chosen to be slaves of Father God, to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Not to hide, not to keep our mouths shut, not to be these mamby-pamby, little cowardly people who happen to call themselves Christians. They continue to speak the word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand. You know, they're calling upon him for more of his supernatural powers to come forth. While you stretch out your hand to heal, like the guy they had standing there with them. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, when they had finished this prayer, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. This is 1994 all over again. This building fell down. Of course, we weren't in here praying when it fell down. That would have been something. But when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd already been filled with him. But here they are, supernaturally being filled again, just as Peter was when he was going to make that first sermon, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness, with parousia, with frankness, with confidence, with courage. Now they've just been threatened. Not just Peter and John, they're telling them, look, you do what we have been doing. You're under this threat too. Well, let's see what takes place from that point on. I left you there, I think on page 6. Where the fact says The will of God was clear. The disciples then and now were to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that we were all part of our Lord's spiritual SWAT team. Remember the acrostic? Servants with a what? Testimony. We're part of his SWAT team. Servants with a testimony. Family, we can go out there and we can be daring. We can be courageous. We can. There isn't hardly anything that we can't do that the Lord would want us to do. And we all do it in his power. I shared with you some time ago when I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all I knew. This is a tract. The four spiritual laws. Have you heard the four spiritual laws? Now, there's better tracts, but this is the sum total of what I knew. The four spiritual laws, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. If you look at your text, you see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We've already dissected this months and months ago. But look at it again. Our Heavenly Father is, oh, by the way, there's three places where you find the word you in your notes in that verse, okay? Three places. Would you write your first name above it? Write your first name above it, please. Because our Heavenly Father is saying out loud, understand, this is not just a book, okay? What is contained in here is a translation of the very words, the very breath of God. And he is speaking to us. He spoke these words to the church then. He's been speaking to the church throughout the ages. He is speaking to you right now through his word. So as we read this, make sure you put your name where the U's are, okay? But Ron will, excuse me, we're reading it together, right? Out loud? Pardon, but yeah. Okay, but you put your name where the U is, okay? So here we go. But you, Ron will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon Ron. And Ron will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, our Heavenly Father just talked to you. The Holy Spirit is impressing upon your spirit right now. If you're born again, you are to be a witness for him. And if you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this power, this dunamis power, this dynamic, explosive power has come into you. And you are to be witnesses for him in your Jerusalem. My Jerusalem was originally Encino and then Reseda. And I took this little booklet with me until it was in tatters and found out I could buy another one. To my Jerusalem, or actually my Judea, became Malibu, where I was surfing with guys, my buddies, and sharing this with them. And at Topanga and at County Line. I mean, this is all I knew, folks. And you know, it's okay if you don't know any more than this, because this will challenge you. As people ask me questions, and I didn't have the answers to them, and I didn't have a lot of answers, I told them, give me your phone number. I will find out. I'm a brand new Christian. I'll find out. I'll call you. If you have more questions, and I don't know, I'll go get more answers. And so I just continued to grow. It's okay not to know everything. I figured out a long time ago, I'm not God. He knows all things. I don't. So family, what is your Jerusalem? What is your Judea? I want to encourage you to be as we're supposed to be and as we have seen here. We're to be his witnesses. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, you see where it says, go therefore and make disciples? Now, in the context, Jesus is saying, go therefore and make disciples. And it is in the aorist active imperative. It's a, let's just say it's a command, okay? And he's telling us, go therefore and make disciples. Now turn to the person next to you or behind you or in front of you and tell them, Jesus is saying to you, go therefore and make disciples. Go ahead. Turn to the person next to you and tell them. Now, what did Jesus just say to you? What did Jesus say? I mean, is there any question about what he said? I mean, is this something that needs another interpretation? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? He's telling us, and he's not saying, oh, please, or I think it would be a nice idea. He is saying, have I got your attention? Make this happen. I'm not pleading with you. I am, in the most loving way, telling you, go and make disciples. Disciples. Making disciples involves bringing people into a relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son with the guidance of God the Holy Spirit. It is bringing Him into this relationship that can go to great intimacy, but also as a pupil coming before His teacher. To bring a disciple into this relationship. And it involves getting them to take, to use a biblical word, this yoke upon themselves, this yoke of instruction, and to submit themselves to what they are learning. If the Lord says, like, go and make disciples, He's not kidding. He is saying, go and make disciples. And we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ if we've been born again. And if you haven't been, why not? Why? I mean, look here. Some ones of you, or we've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 people have been shared the Word of God, and 2 have come to faith in the Lord Jesus last week. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Another answer to prayer. Another wonderful answer. Oh, Tom. Gee. See, I can blame him, but I force him to show me what time it is. So, Jesus is saying, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, the disciples, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of our Heavenly Dad. Oh, I've got 15. Good. Hey, Jim, you show me the signs from now on. I have a 10-minute sign and a 5-minute sign, and I just got a 15. So. But one of them's lying. 20. Do I hear another 30? Sold. But baptizing them in the name of our wonderful Father. And God is not saying, I am God. He is saying, I am God, and you are to reverence me. But you know what? I'm also your spiritual daddy. And I want that kind of a relationship with you to be your dad. And then we baptize him in the name of the Son, our Redeemer, our beautiful, wonderful sin bearer, the one who took our punishment upon himself. We get to baptize disciples in the name of our gracious Father and His merciful, loving Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and helps to illuminate the Word of God to our hearts and to our minds. And to have also to know that we can grieve Him. He stays with us. Even when we do the most putrid sorts of things, He doesn't leave us. He stays there with us. But we grieve him when we do that. We hurt God the Holy Spirit when we sin. Well, what a loving Trinity Godhead we have. And we're supposed to baptize people in this Trinitarian name. And it says, teaching them, the disciples, to observe all that I have commanded you. I mean, when the Lord commands, it's not like getting a command from, my captain when I was in the military, or from the silly shave-tail butterbar lieutenant. But teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. It's a gracious, loving command. Yes, Lord, tell me. I'll do it. I may not understand it. I may not even want to. But golly, for what you've done for me, you betcha. I'll go do it. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So wonderful, even with us to the end of eternity. Never, never, ever will he leave us, his sons and daughters. Never. Always there for us. Someone said, the most useful asset of a person is not a head filled with knowledge. I know a few Christians like that. A lot of knowledge. The most useful asset of a person is not a head full of knowledge, but a heart full of love, with ears open to listen and hands willing to serve. Beautiful. Those of us who are disciples, this is what we're being called to. Consequently, there in your notes, they needed enablement to carry out their task. No, they did not assume that our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, was simply going to push forth this dunamis, this dynamite power in our lives. They didn't assume that, even though he had done it in the past. They needed enablement. And Peter and John, as you look at your notes, their friends voiced a fresh appeal. They were talking to him again. And they're asking for his help to be filled with this boldness. They voiced a fresh appeal for his grace, since additional opposition and temptation laid ahead of them. And girls, at least 30 or so of you ladies, you've just finished 1 Peter. And you know a bit about all that. What Peter was writing to the diaspora, all of those Christians that have been dispersed, and what they're going to be facing, and what they are facing, and trying to give them encouragement. This fresh appeal, it's something that we all need to make. And I can't go into greater depth this morning because they're picking on me in the back and I can't go further. But anyway, we'll come back to this point. Mark this point in your notes, and this is where we will return next Sunday. And on top of that, I just want to prepare you. I'll be going on into the next section as well. So you'll have two sets of message notes. We'll finish this and we'll immediately jump in to the other one as well. So, having said that, we have this opportunity, and our Lord wants to hear from us. The word is prayer. I just want to call it conversation. He wants us to talk to him. I want us to learn that there isn't anywhere that we can't talk to him. I may have said this previously as we've been going through this particular passage. You know, my pastor, Bob Wells, when I was just a baby Christian, he says, there's no place. And so I asked, there's no place? And he said, no, there's no place you can't talk to him. I said, when you're in the sitting on the John, can you talk to him? He says, you can talk to him when you're sitting in the John. There is no place, family. There is no time that you can't talk to him. And he wants to hear more from us. He wants to hear from us. And as you do that more and more, then you'll find that your relationship with him goes to greater heights. Greater maturity, especially as you add in the passages of scripture that you read that might be the thing that you key off of to launch into a long discussion with him. On top of that, we're to be witnesses. We have, like I say, all of these roses move from over there to here. And this is wonderful. This is great. Those of you who have been talking, those of you who led these people of faith in Christ, our Lord's richest blessing. You already know what that's like. It's already come your way. But family, all of these, wouldn't you think, should be over there if we are being obedient and being witnesses for him? Why don't we see if we can make that our goal? This face just gets picked up and put over there, and we bring the empty one over here. What do you think? It can happen. It can happen. You can all open your mouth. You all have your testimony. You're all SWAT members, servants with a testimony. You know, I've already been talking about Sophie. I haven't even met her yet. Some have been Christians for years and never shared the gospel with anybody. This week's got to be the week. Don't you think? Let's pray. Now, Lord, fill us once again with your gracious Holy Spirit and give us that boldness that we need to tell others about you. Lord, we want to get closer to you each and every day. And it's not just a time in church like we are having now, but it's tomorrow morning when we start the day to spend time in your wonderful, instructive, encouraging word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in fellowship with you so that we will be equipped and ready to go and face the world and that all the people will be bringing our way. Help us. We want to be well able to share your son, Jesus, with others. Help us to do that, my Lord, please. Even if it's with a simple little tract to begin with. Oh, Father, you created us to be your servants. You created us to serve and to succeed because your Holy Spirit will help us to do exactly that. So help us to be ever so sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. Please, my Lord, we've been the recipients, my Lord, of such beautiful answers to prayer. You've come alongside even this morning, our Hermelinda, and we trust that you've been alongside David as well. You've been with our Renee, who has been fighting cancer as well. And Dawn, Gary Lourdes can't be with us this morning because of his health, but nonetheless, he gives you praise time and again. And I know that he'll continue to do so along with Diana. My Lord, you've provided each of us here who are your kids a new life in your son. And we have new life in our family, Kathy's and mine, with Sophie. Thank you so much. We thank you for those that are coming to faith as we see these white and red roses. We thank you for the answered prayer, bringing Andrew to us back from the Marine Corps, whole, looking good. You delivered Annette from cancer. You provided jobs for those who haven't had one for a while. You're going to be with Stephen as he goes into the hospital on Wednesday. You provided each of us who have been born again this great salvation So we thank you for it all. And we're just trusting in you. And we can do that through the marvelous name and power and work of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
There is a truth.